Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Ayin Ches, the beginning of the 8th parak of Maseches Ksubas. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, and also by Dr. Yosef Gervich, in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. Today we begin, as we said, the 8th parak of Maseches Ksubas, and the Mishnah is going to talk about whether a woman is allowed to sell Nichsei Melug, and it's going to talk about all the different permutations, all the different cases. When did she get this Nichsei Melug? When is she trying to sell the Nichsei Melug? Did she receive it before she was in Arusa and sold it then? Did she receive it before she was in Arusa, sell it after she's in Arusa? Did she try to sell it after she's in Nesua? Did she only receive it after she's in Arusa, only receive it after she's a Nesua? So the Mishnah is going to go through all of the different cases. The Gemara is then going to talk about why would we distinguish between the chasim that she received before Erisin and the chasim that she received after Erisin. Why would Erisin be a critical moment in that cheshbon? Then the Gemara is going to raise a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether a sale of stuff that she got before Nisuin that is made after the Nisuin is going to be chal, meaning she receives something before Nisuin and then she tries to sell it after the Nisuin, and machlokas, whether that were a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether such a sale is even binding, it's even chal, and we're going to have two answers to that stira. Then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to talk about a particular takanas usha that doesn't seem to really add anything to what we already learned in the Mishnah. And that's unusual, because if they're making a takanas usha, you would imagine that it's adding something beyond what we already know in the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the takanas usha adds, and then the Gemara is going to very briefly discuss two possibilities of what the Mishnah means when it talks about nechasim that are yiduin labal and nechasim that are not yiduin labal. What does it mean that it's nechasim that he knew about or didn't know about? What level of knowledge does he have to have? What nechasim do we assume he knew about? What nechasim do we assume he did not know about? So a little bit of background to the parak in general, and then we'll go right into the Mishnah. The parak in general, it's a 5 dapim. It's going to take us through the first day of Rosh Hashanah Bez Hashem. It discusses, the entire parak discusses the concept of nichsei melug. There are two types of nechasim that a woman could have. There's the nichsei tzon barzel. Those are the possessions that she has that get written into the ksuba. This is what she's bringing into the marriage, and therefore we're assessing what it's all worth, and that's what she's going to get paid going out of the marriage. But then nichsei melug are stuff that does not get written into the ksuba, and the halach of the nichsei melug is it's hers. It's got nothing to do with the husband. However, midrabbanan, the rabbanan were mesakein that the husband gets to eat the peros of the nichsei melug so long as they're married. That while they're married, if the nichsei melug produce any profits, the husband gets those profits, and the reason they were mesakein that the husband gets those profits is that it's in exchange for pirkona. It's in exchange for his obligation to be poda her should she be held captive. So that's zelumazah. Because he has that obligation, he gets to enjoy the peros of the nichsei melug. So there are basically three topics in this parak. One topic is the halacha of nechasim that the woman got as a yerusha before erisin, or between the erisin and the nisuin, or after the nisuin, and she tries to sell them. Right, all different types of possessions, whether it be karka, kesa, Avadim, Ilanos, Peros, any other metaltalin. What do we do with what's the status of such nichsei melug? The second topic we're going to talk about, not today, is if the husband spends money on the nichsei melug. He enhances the property. He does something. He makes an investment in it, and then he wants to get paid back for his investment. So does it make a difference if he's already benefited from that investment? Does it make a difference if he hasn't benefited at all from the investment? Has he benefited up to the amount of his investment, or has he benefited less than the investment he put into the property? So that will be the second topic of this parak. And then the third topic is going to talk about if an almana, the husband dies and she requires yibum, and she's yoresh nechasim, so what's the zchus of the yavam in that nechasim so long as he hasn't actually done the yibum yet? Meaning if he's already done the yibum, so then he's her husband. But if he hasn't yet done the yibum, what's his rights in the nechasim? And if she dies, who's going to be yoresh those nechasim? So different topics relating to that. But again, our Mishnah is going to focus on different properties that she receives at different stages, whether it be before Erisin, after Erisin, after Nisuin and what her rights are to sell those properties. So says the Mishnah, Hishash Nafla Nchasim Ad Shalot Tesaris. A woman receives a Yerusha, let's say. Nafla implies Yerusha. So Yom Tov writes, the word Naflu implies Yerusha, but over here it doesn't necessarily have to mean, over here the Halacha is not limited to Yerusha. Meaning it's not about the fact that she got Yerusha, it's about the fact that she got Nchasim. That she received new Nchasim, whether it was a Matana, a Metzia, a Yerusha, however she got, it doesn't really matter, but she got, the key is that it's at Shalot Tesares, that she received this stuff before Erisin, and then she had Erisin, and now she wants to sell these items. So there's a Machlokas Beisham Beisilel later in the Mishnah, but at this first stage of the Mishnah, Modim Beisham Beisilel Shemacharis V'Nosenes V'Kayim. She received this Nechasim before she even had Erisin, and now she wants to sell them after Erisin. Yeah, that's fine. The sale is going to be valid. She's even allowed to sell it l'chadchila, because whatever she got before there were the husband in the, before the husband was even in the picture, the husband has no zuchus in those nechasim, and therefore he cannot prevent her from selling this this property. The Hafla writes that she's one would have thought that even though she's selling it be'erusin, the husband could be mevatel the mekach after the Nisuin, meaning no one would have had a Havamina that at the stage of Erisin the husband could be Mevatel the Mekach. But what I might have thought is that she got it before Erisin, she sells it after Erisin, husband can't do anything yet, but as soon as Nisuin happens, he can come along and then be Mevatel the Mekach. So that's why the Mishnah adds that word, Vekayam, that the Mekach is Kayam, the Mekach is going, not only can she do it, and not only does the Mekach, is the Mekach Chal, but it's going to remain Chal, even after the Nisuin already happens. So that there's no machlokas, the Mishnah says. She got the Nechasim before Erisin, she sells it after the Erisin, that she's allowed to do that l'chadchila, the sale is binding as well. Machlokas Beisham Beisil is the following though. Naflala Misha Nesarsa. She received this property after Erisin. Now she wants to sell them as an arusa, before she has nisuin. So now, Beishami Yom Timkar, Beishami says, even l'chadchila, she's allowed to go ahead and sell it, u'beishilal omrim lo timkar. Then no, she received this property after Erisin, she's not allowed to sell it l'chadchila. Eilu ve'lemodim shemachim nasakayim, but both Beishami and Beisil will agree that even though Beisil thinks she shouldn't be selling it, even the Beisil would agree that if she does sell it, the sale is going to be binding. As long as, because the sale was done during Erisin before Nisuin. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda comments, Amr Chacham Lefrei Rabbi Gamliel, that the Chacham had said to Rabbi Gamliel, and they made the following argument, Hol v'zacha b'isha lo yiska b'nechasim, already at the time of Erisin, the husband has zuchuyos in the wife, and just like he has zuchuyos in the wife to prevent her selling her nechasim when they have nisuin, so too those zuchuyos should already be there from the time of Erisin, meaning she's an eshes ish already at the time of Erisin. So whatever he's entitled to do after Nisuin, he should be entitled to do after Erisin. So why is it that we're assuming that she has more rights to sell her Nechasim after Erisin than she would after Nisuin? So Rabbi Gamliel said back to the Chamim, what do you mean? Even the fact that Yerusha that she gets after Nisuin, we don't even understand why the Chamim were Masakein, that the husband has Zuchuyos in such Nechasim. It's difficult enough to understand why the husband has any rights into Nechasim that are not written into her ksuba that she only got after Nisuin. You also want him to have rights over all the nechasim that she got before the Nisuin and that she sold when she was in Arusa, that he should be able to control that stuff too. That's the pashtus that Rav Gamliel holds, that the woman is not able to sell that the woman is not able to sell the nechasim that she got after the Nisuin, but he's just saying I just don't know why. Meaning, I agree to the halacha, because that's the halacha, but I just don't know why that would be the halacha, and I'm not going to extend the halacha that I have no explanation for. But that core halacha still exists, and that's what Rashi writes in Amud Beis. Interestingly, though, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah says, no, this is Ram Gamliel's way of disagreeing with the halacha in the first place. He holds that that if she sells it, the nechassim after the Eris, and the mecher is going to be kain, meaning the nechassim that she got after the nisuin rather, that the mechir is going to be kayim, that the husband does not have the right to be mevatel such a mekach. And that's what he's saying. Al chadash manu boshim. I don't even agree with the premise that, I mean, you're asking me, why doesn't she have the same rights in the nechasim after erusin that she has after, why doesn't the husband have the same rights in the nechasim after erusin that he has after nisuin? I reject the premise. He doesn't have the rights that you think he has after the nisuin. He cannot be mevatel the mekach after the nisuin. That's how the Rambam understands the phrase of Rav Gamliel. So it's machlokas rishonim whether Rav Gamliel accepts the premise and just disagrees with the extension, or he doesn't even accept the premise. There's also somewhat of a discussion over here. What's chadashim and what's yeshanim? New what? Old what? So Tosfos seems to assume that the nechasim, new and old, refer to the nechasim, and these nechasim are called old in comparison to the nechasim that she gets after the nisuin. And even though we're talking about that she's selling it be'erusin, so right now at the time that she's selling it, it's still new, right? But we're going to call that old because when we say old, when we refer to yeshanim, we mean nechasim that she receives earlier on in the process of her marriage. So it's not from the perspective of when she's selling it; it's from our zooming out perspective of all the different stages in her life. So erusin is an earlier stage in her life, so we refer to that as the old stuff. However, the Pnei Yeshua says, why would you think that old and new refers to nechasim? We're talking about takanos that we made for the husband to have certain rights over the nechasim. So shouldn't old and new refer to old takanos and new takanos? So the lechara chadasha means the new takanos, like takanos Usha and the takanos Rabbi Seinu, that Rav Gamliel doesn't agree, doesn't understand the basis of those takanos. Yeshanim are the dinim in the Mishnah that the chacham wanted to be miyapeh, the zchus of the Baal, to better the position of the Baal beyond the Ikar Adin that's mentioned in the Mishnah. But the Pnei Yeshua says that the truth is, if you look in the Yerushalmi, it's pretty explicit in the Yerushalmi that Chadashim and Yeshanim is not a reference to Takanos, but it's a reference to Nechasim. So Tosos probably got it right, that's what Yeshanim and Chadashim are actually referenced to. Okay, now in Nudin. So again, so far we discussed Nechasim that she received before Erusin and Nechasim that she received after Erisin. Now, Nafla Misha Nises, what about Nechasim that she only received after Nisuin? So Elu ve'elu, both Beisham ve'silal, Modim would agree, She'imachra v'nasla Shabal Motsi Miyar al-Kuchos, that if she tries to sell or give that Nechasim to somebody else, then the husband has full rights to be Mevatel Mekach entirely. So we had two cases where Beisham ve'silal agree, and one case where they disagree. In both extremes, they agree. If she had the Nechasim before the Erisin, they agree she's allowed to sell it. If she only got the nechasim after the nisuin, they agree that the husband could be mevatel the mekach. The only machlokas is if she received the nechasim after erusin, before the nisuin. So Beishame says she could sell it. Beisil says she cannot sell it, but the sale would still be binding. So ad shalonisis. However, so far we've been discussing cases where everything happened in one time period. So case number one is everything happened before the erusin. Not exactly. First case was she received it before the erusin, tried to sell it after the erusin. Second case was she received it after the erusin, tried to sell it after the erusin, but still before the nisuin. And third case was she received it after the nisuin and obviously tried to sell it after the nisuin. But what if ad shalonisis, she received it after the erusin, but then v'nisis, she only tried to sell it after nisuin? So Rav Gamliel Omer imachra v'nas nakayim, that the sale would be binding b'dieven, but l'chadchila she's not allowed to sell it. So Amr Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, Amr l'frei Rav Gamliel, the Chum wondered, they asked Rav Gamliel, hol the zacha b'isha, once there's nisuin, the husband has zuchuyos in his wife. Lo yizka ben chasim. Does he not have zuchuyos in those nechasim that she owns? Why can't he be mevatel such a mecher? Just like he could be mevatel a mecher of nechasim she receives after the nisuin. If she's selling it after the nisuin, why do I care when she received it? That everyone agrees that if she receives it after the nisuin, he could be mevatel the mekach that she subsequently tries because she's already nesua. So why do I care if she received it before the nisuin? She's trying to sell it after the nisuin. The husband should be able to even vatel the mekach. So why does Rav Gamliel think that a machra v'nas nakayim? So Lahem, so Rav Gamliel said back to the chum, I'll tell you. Al chadashim on abashim, al shetem agalgal leinu ayishadim. The newer nechassim that she only got after the nisuin. I don't really understand why the husband should be able to even vatel it. Okay, I have no choice. That's what the takanas chum is, that he can even vatel it. But I don't want to extend that to nechassim that she received before the nisuin. Rabbi Shimon cholik bein nechassim le nechassim. Rabbi Shimon distinguishes between nechassim and other nechassim. There are some nechassim that the husband is able to be mevatel the mekach, and other nechassim where he cannot be mevatel the mekach. And it goes as follows: nechassim ayiduin lebal, nechassim that the husband knows about that she's getting as a yerusha. The Tiferes Yisrael writes that all he needs to know is that she will ultimately get this nechassim as a yerusha, and he's waiting and anticipating for that to happen, even though he doesn't necessarily know that it's already happened. And the reason that Rush explains that the reason the Chasim Yidum, the Mishnah says lo timkar, she's not allowed to sell because it's going to cause him to lose out, is because the husband would not be po to the wife if he knows that she has other nechassim. Why should I have to pay to be po to her? She's got her own money. She's independently wealthy. Let her use her own money to be po to herself. So the Chasim Yidum lebal lo timkar, that she's not allowed to sell to be mafsid him those nechassim. V'machra v'nasna batal, and if she does sell it, it's going to be batal. But she'en yidun lebal lo timkar v'machra v'nasna kayim. If there are nechassim that he doesn't know about, then she still shouldn't sell it. But if she does sell it, the sale is going to be binding. The Rush writes that even the chassan that he doesn't know about that she got after the nisuin, the sale is going to be binding b'diavad. The Ra'ah disagrees and he says no. Rav Shimon is going to be moda that anything that comes after the nisuin, the sale is not going to be binding. We're talking now about a case of she got the chassan before the nisuin. She's trying to sell it after the nisuin. She got it before the nisuin. The Meiri brings both shittos, and he's machria that the mecher is going to be kayim even if she got it after the nisuin, and that's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch as well. Okay, so now says the Gemara, we had said in the Mishnah that Beishai and Beisil disagree about nechassim that she got after erusin, whether she's allowed to sell them lechatchila. But everyone agrees nechassim that she got before erusin, she's allowed to sell lechatchila after erusin. So it's all a matter of when she got it. Did she receive it before erusin or after erusin? If she received it before erusin, everyone agrees she's allowed to sell it after, and once she has erusin. And if and she only received it after erusin, then you get into all machlokes b'sham b'silo. So maishla reisha lo pligi, maishla seifa de pligi. What's the difference between those two cases? Why do I care whether she received it before erusin or she received it after erusin? Bottom line is she's only selling it once she's an arusa. So Ami deber Rabbi Yane. So deber Rabbi Yane explained reisha Bizuchusa naflu. In the case of the Reisha, the stuff she got before Erisin, it happened at the time she got that nechassim when the husband had no rights whatsoever. The husband was not even in the picture, and therefore he has no zuchus in those nechassim to ask her to sell them, even lechachila. But seifa bizuchuso naflu. But in the second case of the Mishnah, we're talking about where she received it after Erisin, which means the husband was already in the picture, and therefore he has the rights to prevent her from selling it, at least lechachila. But wait a second, if you're going to say that he has rights because she's already in Arusa, so he's already in the picture, well then why is the sale binding? Why is it Mechar Kayim? No, the way to understand it is that in the case where she receives it before Erisin, so then the husband doesn't exist yet, right? So clearly, it's totally Bizuchusa. Seifa, but in the Seifa, she receives it after Erisin, but before Nisuin. So that we're not sure what the status is. Emor Bizuchusa. Emor bizchuso. It could be that's called bizchusa, or it could be it's called bizchuso, because the zchus of the husband in these nechassim really comes on account of the nisuin that hasn't happened yet. So by erisin, there's a suffix whether they're going to get to nisuin or not. So since the whole their whole future is mesupa, because everybody's future is mesupa, you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So they don't know that there's going to be a nisuin, and all of his rights in the nechassim are only on account of a future nisuin. Lechadchil lo tim. We don't want her to sell it because misafik. Maybe they will have nisuin, and this really is her husband. But a machra v'nasa kayim. But you can't undo the sale because right now they don't. don't have Nisuin, and we don't know for sure that the Nisuin will ever happen. And that's why in the Sefer we have this case of Machlokas between Mesham and Beis Hillel, but everyone agrees that a Machra v'nas nakayim. Then the Mishnah said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amru l'frei Rav Gamliel, that they said to Rav Gamliel, that according to that Nechassan, that the woman gets after Erusin, the din should be different from what it says in the Mishnah. So meaning they're attacking Rav Gamliel. They're saying, Rav Gamliel, what you're saying is not, does not seem to be correct. Question is, what are they attacking exactly? What are they trying to say? So, Ibayilu, the Gemara raises the following issue. Rabbi Yehuda al-Khadkhila or Adiyavid? When Rabbi Yehuda is quoting the Chacham that we need to be more machmir on the woman than the Mishnah had previously said, is he going on the din that l'chadchila, that she's allowed to sell? Meaning, is he arguing on Shitas Beis Shammai? In a case where she received the Nechassim after Erusin, Beis Shammai says, let her do whatever she wants with it after Erusin. Let her sell it, it's fine, even l'chadchila. And the Chacham saying to Rav Gamliel, no, Beis Shammai shouldn't say that. They should not allow selling it l'chadchila. I agree to Beis Hillel that if she sells it, that it's valid, that it's binding, but I don't agree to the Beis Shammai part, that l'chadchila she's allowed to sell it. Is that what they're saying? Oh, adiyeved. Or is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the sheet of the Beis Hillel that b'dieved the sale is binding, that and the Chacham are saying to Rav Gamliel, I don't think the sale should even be binding. I think the sale should be batel. So they're arguing on what we quoted from the Beis Hillel, that the Beis Hillel said that if she received the properties after Erusin and sells them after Erusin, Beis Hillel says she's not supposed to do that, but if she did, the sale is binding. So now Rav Yehuda is quoting the Chacham and saying, no, the sale shouldn't even be binding in such a case. So what exactly is Rav Yehuda quoting from the Chacham? Are they attacking the Beis Shammai or are they attacking the Beis Hillel? So Sezmar will bring a raya, because we have a brisa where you'll see very clearly from the brisa what the Chachamim are driving at. So Tashma, D'tanya, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Rufi Rabbi Gamliel. The Chacham said to Rabbi Gamliel, Hoel v'zo ishto, since a woman who has nisuin is considered a man's wife, and also a woman who has erusin is considered a man's wife, they should both have the same halacha. So zo mechrabatel, just like a woman who has nisuin already, if she sells nixei malug that she received when she was in nisua, the sale is for sure batel, right? That was a case that everybody agreed about, that if she receives nechasim after she's in the suah and then tries to sell them, that for sure the sale is batel, so avzo mikra batel. So too an arusa who sold the nechasim that she got as an arusa, so the mechra should be batel as well. So Amar Lahan, Rabbi Gamliel says to the chachamim, ala chadashim hanuboshim, that the fact that nechasim she gets after the nisuin, that the husband could just be mevatel the mekach, I don't understand the reason for that even. You want me to extend that to Erusin as well? So Shema Minot Diavid Kamar, what you see is what the Chum were attacking is why b'diavid we say that the mekach is kayam, meaning they were attacking the Beis Hillel, that even the Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai had said that l'chadchila she's allowed to sell it. So that we're not even bothering with that. Of course that shouldn't be allowed. But even the Beis Hillel said that if she did sell it, that the mecher is going to be kayim. We think she should have no rights whatsoever. The Chacham are attacking. She should have no rights whatsoever. It should be just like a nesua. And Ramiel says, I don't think so. I have a hard enough time with the din of nesua. I'd rather not extend it to the din of narusa. So shema mina. So you see that it's based on this brisa that the Chacham were going against the sheet of Beis Hillel. Problem is, we have another brisa that disagrees with this brisa. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, lo kach hishivan. The response that Rabbi Gamliel gave to the Chacham is not the way we just learned in the previous brisa, where the Chacham asked him about an arusa that sells, and he says, "Ala chadashim that." Excuse me, that I have a hard enough time with a nesua, that let alone an arusa. Ella kachi shiva. No, the response that he gave to them was to be mechalik between an arusa that sells and a nesua that sells. And he responds to them as follows, that lo, what are you trying to tell me? That both an arusa and a nesua are married. And since they're both married, just like the husband has full rights to be mevatel any mekach after nisuin, he should have full rights to be mevatel any mekach after erusin. Why would you compare those two things? Imamartim ben Nesua, you're going to tell me about a Nesua who sold something that the mechir is going to be batal. Shekin b'ayla zakei b'mitziyaso b'maisiyadeh b'afaras nedera. You know what kind of rights a husband has in his wife when she's in Nesua? He could do anything. He could get any mitziya that she finds the husband has a right to. Any maisiyadeim she produces, the husband has a right to. She takes a neder, the husband could be made for the neder like that. So that's why he could be mevatal her mechir as well. But Tamur Barusa, you want to say that automatically, whatever rights a husband has in the suwa, he has in arusa as well. Shein ba lezakeh lo b'mitziyasa lo b'maisiyadeh lo b'afaras nedereh. Husband doesn't have that. It's not the same relationship when he's in arusa, when she's in arusa, as it is when she's in the suwa. So don't bring me a raya from a nesuwa to an arusa. So the chacham said, you know what? You're right. Amrulo. The chacham said back to him, Rabbi, we agree to you. Machrala ad shaloni says. You know what? If she was in arusa and tried to sell the property while she was still in arusa, you're right. We cannot learn anything from a nesua to that case. The husband does not have the right to be mevatel the mekach. But nises v'achar kach machra mahu. But what would be the din if she received the property when she was in arusa and then sold the property when she was in nesua? So what would you say then? So Amaluram Gamliel said avzu mecheres v'nesenes v'kayim, that even lechadchila she's allowed to do that and the sale is going to be binding. Whoa, she's even allowed to sell lechadchila that which she got as an arusa and she's selling it as a nesua. So Amaluram, so then the chum attacked Ram Gamliel. Hol v'zach b'isha v'yiskav v'nechasim. Once they have nisuin, so you just told me mitziya, maisiya daim, hafaras nedarim, everything. The husband has the right to everything. So now that they have nisuin, he's not going to be zochah in the nechasim, the nechse malug that she had. Why can't he be mevatel the mekach? So Amalehem, Ram Gamliel said back to them, ala chadash manu boshim. Even the nechasim that she gets after the nisuin, I don't understand why he should be mevatel the mekach. Elishata megalgun lein l'sei yishanim. You want to tell me that the nechasim she received before the nisuin that she's only trying to sell after the nisuin, the husband should be mevatel the mekach? I don't even like the idea that the husband could be mevatel the mekach on the chasim she first received after the nisuin. So that's how Ram Gamliel, that's how the conversation went. So the Gemara asks on the Braisa, we said in the Braisa previously that according to Ram Gamliel, a woman who's nesua is even allowed to sell the chalchila, the nechasim that she received before the nisuin, right? This is what this second brisa, this most recent brisa added that we hadn't seen before, that she got the nechasim when she was in arusa, now she's in nesua, even the chalchila she's allowed to go sell the nechasim, according to the chacham, according to Ram Gamliel. So, but that's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Achlo nises v'nises Ram Gamliel machmir nasa kayim. That Ram Gamliel says, if she sold it, then it's the mekach kayim. Im machmir nasa kayim implies b'diavad in lechachila lo. That certainly you're not allowed to do that lechachila b'diavad if she sold it. So then the mechir is going to be kayim. So says Gemara the two answers. So again, steer between the brisa and the Mishnah. The brisa says that according to Ram Gamliel, that stuff that she gets before Erisin, she's even lechadchila allowed to sell it after Nisuin, whereas our Mishnah said stuff that she got, not before Erisin, after Erisin, whereas our Mishnah said stuff that she got after Erisin before Nisuin, lechadchila she's not allowed to sell it after Nisuin, it's just that the sale is going to be binding. So I'm Razvid, Mocheres v'nos, Tani, Mocheres v'nosenes v'kayim. You have to change the gears from the Mishnah. It shouldn't be im Mocher v'nos v'kayim, Elashon b'diavet, it should be Elashon lechadchila. That Mocheres v'nosenes Kayim, that it's perfectly fine for her to sell it. Rav Papa Amar, a different answer. Lo kasha, no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, because there is a machlokas what Rav Gamliel held. Har Rabbi Yehuda alib the Rav Gamliel. One is Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rav Gamliel, that's the Mishnah, and ha Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya alib the Rav Gamliel. The Braisa is Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya's version of Rav Gamliel. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Gamliel holds that if she's a Nesua, if a Nesua sells in the chasm that she got before the Nisuin, it's only Kayim b'diavad, and according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, Rav Gamliel even allowed doing so l'chadchila. So ask the Gemara on that answer. Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya kibei shamai, but then wait a second. Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya is holding like the Beis Shammai, because according to the Beis Hillel, even an arusa is not allowed to sell l'chadchila the nechasim that she got during the erusin. Meaning that was the case of machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in our Mishnah. If a woman gets nechasim after erusin, tries to sell even during erusin, she doesn't wait for nishulin. She tries to sell during erusin. Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to do that l'chadchila. So only Beis Shammai said you're allowed to do that l'chadchila. So by telling me she's even l'chadchila allowed to sell the stuff after Nisuin, so you're going even further than the Beis Shammai said in our Mishnah. But you're certainly not fitting with the Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says even before Nisuin she wouldn't be allowed to sell it. So Achi Kavya, so no, what Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya is saying is that the machlokas that's mentioned in our Mishnah is only a machlokas the way you, Rabbi Yehuda, understand it. But I hold, lo nachu b'sham Beis Hillel davarzeh, I hold that in that middle case in the Mishnah where we actually had that machlokas b'sham Beis Hillel, that there is no machlokas b'sham Beis Hillel, that everyone holds that mocharis on senes lechadchila. And Memela, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya is even aliba the Beis Hillel. So the way we had in our Mishnah was that if she gets properties before she's an Arusa and she sells them as an Arusa, we said, great, let her do that. That's no problem. Everyone agrees. B'Shem B'Shem, everyone agrees. L'chachil, she could do that. If she gets properties as an Arusa and tries to sell them as an Arusa, ooh, that's where we had a machlokas, B'Shem B'Shem. And B'Shem says, she can't do that, L'chachilah. It only works b'diyavet. So now, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya is saying, not true. B'Shem agrees, she's allowed to do that. Meaning, case one and case two, halachically are identical. Whether she receives it before she's an Arusa, whether she receives it after she's an Arusa, if she's trying to sell it as an Arusa, she's allowed to sell it even l'chadchila. And then Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says, and Rabbi Gamliel goes even a step further, and he says that even if she receives it after an Arusa and tries to sell it after Nisuin, she's allowed to do that l'chadchila. That the only thing that we are going to prevent her from doing is selling nechasim that she only received after Nisuin. So Rabbi Shmuel Darmi Tavai, Bein Shnofel Nechasim, Ad Shalom Nisar, so Bein Shnofel Nechasim, Mishen Is Arsa, V'Niseis, Rabbi Shmuel both say, whether she received Nechasim before Erisin, or whether she received the Nechasim after Erisin, and now she has Nisuin and she wants to sell them, Bal Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos, the husband can take them back from the Lekuchos. So says, wait, come on, now we're going in the opposite direction. We've been building to expand the woman's rights to be able to sell them even the Chachila. Now we're going in the opposite direction. We're saying, whatever Nechasim she got, even before Harrison. Now we're saying that the Baal is Motzi Miyad al Kuchos. So come on, who do Rav and Shmuel hold like? It's the Lok Rabbi Yehuda, the Lok Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. It's not even like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Gamliel holds that in our Mishnah, B'dieved, the Mecher is Kayim. And it's certainly not like Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya holds that Rav Gamliel says that even the Chachila she's allowed to sell them. So it says, Inu da Amri, Kerabu Seinu. Both Rav and Shmuel are assuming like the Rabbi Seinu, whose Shita is not mentioned in the Mishnah. They are in a Braisa. The Tanya Rabbi Seinu, Chazru v'nimnu, Bein Shnafla Ajlo Tesaris, Bein Shnafla Mishen Nesarsa, V'niseis Habal Motzim Yara Lekuchos. That once Nisuin happens, Rabbi Seinu disagreed with everything we learned until now. Rabbi Seinu hold, I don't care when she got the Nechasim, once Nisuin happens, then no sale she makes is going to be binding. Not only L'chadchil is she not allowed to make the sale, the husband could be Motzim Yara Lekuchos, no sale she's going to make is going to be binding. So that's what Rav and Shmuel are pasking like a shita that appears in no Mishnah and no Brisa that we've seen until this point, until we just quoted the Brisa right now, this very last Brisa, where we have such a shita of Rav Seinu. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Mishanises Elu Ve'elu, that once she has Nisu in both Beisham B'Silal or Modim, that the husband could be Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos, meaning whatever property she receives after Nisuin, if she tries to sell that, the husband could be Mevatel the Mekach entirely. So they met Tanina the Takanas Usha. Wait a second, isn't this exactly the Takanas Usha? Because Dam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, B'Usha Hiskinu, they made a Takana in Usha, Ha'isha Shemachra B'Nichsei Muluk, B'Chaye Baila, that if a woman sells her Nichsei Muluk while her husband is alive, V'Mesa, and then afterwards the woman dies, Habal Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos, the husband could go take those properties away from the Lekuchos. Isn't that exactly the din in the Mishnah? If that's exactly the din in the Mishnah, then what did they add in Takanas Usha? So the Gemara says, no, it's not exactly the din in the Mishnah. Masnisin b'chayeha ulaperos. Our Mishnah is saying that the husband could be Motzi the Nechasim while she's alive to get the peros that he's entitled to. Meaning, the husband's rights in Nichsei Meluga that he's allowed to eat the peros. The property still belongs to the woman the whole time. So when she sells it, when our Mishnah says she has no right to sell it, that means that the husband could say, all of the profits, as long as my wife is alive, go to me. Not that he has the rights to the actual stuff, but all the profits go to me, and only as long as she's alive, because that's what he was entitled to. Came along Takanas Usha, and that's Begufa Shel Karka Uli Achar Misa, that after she dies, the husband could go and take back the Gufa Shel Karka. He could actually take the Karka itself after his wife dies. Forget about the payros. He's Yoresh, his wife. Then we had said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Cholik Bein Nechasim, between Nechasim that are Yiduim, that the Halach is Mechram Batal, and Nechasim She'enim Yiduim. So it says Gemara, Eluven Yiduim, Ve'eluven She'enim Yiduim. How do you define what's called Yiduim and what's called Enim Yiduim? Some Rabbi Yosef Yochanina, you do in Mekarkai, Shein, you do in Metaltalin. Karka is something that everybody knows about. That's Yadua. Einim, you do in is Metaltalin. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Eilu Ve'elu, you do in Hain. No, Metaltalin is also you do in. Ve'elu Hain Shein, you do in. What is Nechasim that's Einim, you do in? Kol Shio Shevis Kan, Vilafan Nechasim, Dinas Hayam, where it's somewhere in a different country where the husband doesn't know that those Nechasim even exist. And Tani Nam Yachim, we have a Bryce that says just like that. Eilu Hain Shein, you do in. Kol Shio Shevis Kan, Vilafan Nechasim, Bimedina Siyam, and the husband doesn't even know that those Nechasim were Nofala, Biyarusha, or however else she attained possession of that. That would be considered Ein Yiduin. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots at the bottom. Have a great day, everyone.